Amen. Right at this time, let's turn our full attention to the Word of God. We'll be reading again from Luke chapter 2, picking up our reading in verse 22, as we're following the Holy Family on their journey. Jesus has come, and the time has come for a special ceremony in his life. And because of their faithfulness and just following through on what believers were supposed to do at this point in the child's life, they are surprised with the wonderful guidance of God, and the whole moment becomes a blessing for everyone involved. So let's stand in honor of God's word, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said this to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is God's word. You can be seated. So, how do you know, as you're moving through life, how do you know what God has for you, what God wants for you, what you're supposed to do? Well, if you're Simeon, you're very patient. It says in verse 25 and 26, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah." So Simeon's attitude throughout most of his life was one of hope and expectation. He was expecting God to fulfill his promises. He was being patient, and he was leaving room for God to act. So many people in his time were impatient, and they wanted a political solution, or they wanted a military or violent solution. Many people took things into their own hands to try to force the arrival of the kingdom of God. But that wasn't Simeon's way. He wasn't trying to make it happen, He wasn't manipulating things. But by his manner of life, he was saying, we may have to wait, but it will be worth it. And so sometimes, knowing and the will of God and seeing the unfolding of the promises and the plan of God calls for patience. Well, then let's not forget Anna. She's also huge in this story. It said in verse 36, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. I bet she was even older than 40. What do you suppose? And she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. Now, that's a phrase that's translated a little bit differently in almost every translation. The original Greek is a little fuzzy. Was she a widow for that long, or is that how old she was? We don't know for sure, but we do know she was advanced in years and that she had lived as a widow for some time. And it says that she filled those moments with something very simple. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Faithfulness sometimes seems boring or meaningless. How many people might have walked past her, barely noticing her there in the temple, never considering that she was going to be remembered forever, and we would never know their names. But there she was, this simple lady, but who was wholeheartedly belonging to God, fasting and praying every day in the temple. Faithfulness makes amazing things possible for you and for others. You don't have to be someone that anybody else knows yet. You don't have to draw a lot of attention to yourself. You just live out the rhythms of grace. You pray, you seek, you wait, and you obey. And then, of course, Mary and Joseph are key characters in this story. And God confirmed so many things for them. In verse 22, it said, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. This was a scary time for them in so many ways, so much uncertainty, and yet they didn't let their uncertainty paralyze them. They were in motion. There were so many things they didn't know. I mean, you could have drawn a giant question mark above their heads and had it following them around, and that pretty much would have defined what was in their hearts. And yet, they were doing what they knew to do, right? So often when people are uncertain, they pull back and do nothing. When they don't know what to do, instead of pressing in to do those things that have led them through life and fed them spiritually and kept them on track, people stop praying. They stop going to church. They question God in total isolation and then wonder why they don't have confidence and they don't have faith. Are you tracking with me? That's what Mary and Joseph could have done. But it's exactly what they didn't do. Because they knew that faith wasn't about ideas. Faith was about trust. Trust in God over the long haul, but also trust in the moment for God to lead. And so they let God lead them. Simeon wasn't just patient. He was also obedient in a timely way. Verse 27 said, moved by the Spirit. Did you catch that? Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. There's a lot in what he's saying. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Now, he announced all of these things because the Spirit had led him there, and he had not forgotten those promises in the years of waiting in between. He didn't let cobwebs grow in his heart. He kept his mind focused on the promise of God and seeing it fulfilled in his life. And Anna was also in step with the Spirit. Verse 38, it says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And so in one powerful moment, an old man saw the deepest longings of his heart fulfilled. A faithful prophet widow was written into history, and a faithful young couple seeking God's will were comforted and prepared for what lay ahead. This is why every church needs to reach multiple generations. It brings together the faithful experience of the saints with the earnest seeking of a new generation. Amen? And we need both. And it's going to call for sacrifice for both for that to happen. But there was really even more happening here. God was demonstrating his long-term faithfulness. And I don't just mean long-term faithfulness to individuals. I'm talking about his faithfulness from creation through all of the darkness that human beings introduced, through all of the attempts to bring together a holy people. And now, once and for all, bringing the one who could heal it all into being. So it was a long arc of faithfulness, justice, and love that had not always been obvious along the way. But through it all, it involved raising up God's people, raising up and bringing down empires. But yet it came down to this handful of faithful people. How amazing is that? That a couple of old people that nobody else even noticed, and a young couple that lots of people had doubts about, it was their faithfulness in this moment that made God's grand plan of salvation suddenly come together with clarity. Galatians 4:4 says the following, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So you and I, we are part of a much larger story. Amen? And isn't that so important when we understand our lives and our faith? God has been at work all across the ages, and God is still at work now. Amen? This is not just a quaint little story from the past that tells us something about history. This explains to us how God leads and how his plan unfolds and how we can be in step with it in our times. You see, we humble ourselves in the presence of this story, and we seek to find our place in it as we join the faithful in following Jesus into his glorious future. We leave our past idols behind and embrace what it means to be fully human, bearing God's image in the world. patiently waiting for his kingdom to come, but seeing to it that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And do you sense the balance there? These people have been waiting so long, Simeon and Anna. And so they knew when not to do too much. And yet they stayed in touch with the Holy Spirit enough that they knew exactly when to do the thing that would make such a difference. Something that might have seemed like such a small thing to others. But we hear it now as the unfolding of God's plan. And so it does come to you and to me, this incredible message about a God who created the world good, about human beings who fell into sin and destruction, and about a God who worked all across history to make salvation and healing and holiness possible. So as that speaks into our lives today, here on December 30th, 2018, then let's bring to the surface the things that are in our minds and hearts on a daily basis. Have you been waiting for God to speak into your life? Well, then let him speak today. And sometimes what he's speaking to us is, today is the day to keep on praying. Today is the day to keep on believing. Today is the day to not lose hope. And as boring as that might sound, that's everything. Because it gets us to the next day, and the next day, and the next day, faithfully waiting until all of the tick-tock moments of time are coming up to these beautiful, ripe, pregnant moments of power and purpose where the kingdom of God breaks through. Have you been praying for something for years? And you just don't know where the answers lie? Well, sometimes it helps just to remember all of the ways that God has been faithful and all the prayers that God has answered in the affirmative, and to realize that God saying, not yet, but keep praying, is also a faithful answer to our prayers. Amen? I prayed for my father for so many years. And it came down to the last couple of days of his life before he made a public profession of faith in front of others. God is faithful to work and to work it together for those beautiful, powerful moments to happen. Are you trusting God and hoping for direction this morning? Well, just understand that direction usually isn't some big, unusual, fantastic adjustment you have to make in your life. Most of the time, it's just about how to be faithful in the moments that are already there. And sometimes we waste time wishing and longing for a different life or more exciting moments when the moments that are there, these are the powerful gifts that we have. The relationships that are in our life now, these are the ones to be invested in. And the relationships of each and every moment hold so many possibilities for us. Our God is so faithful. Had to take my wife to the airport yesterday morning. I think that was yesterday morning. About 4:30 in the morning, we got up and headed out on the road. And that's when it started to rain. And so we were driving all the way there, and it seemed mostly okay, but a couple of places we were a little concerned about. Human beings don't behave very well at Terminal 3 at O'Hare Airport, I'm just going to say. Somehow, I don't know how, I got her up to the edge there to drop her off. But as I headed out, the weather started to change, and things started to look very sketchy making my way home. I had just been telling my wife a story of how when Rachel was small, I'd been driving with her, and I had encountered a car out of control sliding toward me, and God had worked it out to where Rachel wasn't injured, I wasn't injured, the car didn't even have a scratch. And then that next day, I had been in another situation where six cars were spinning out of control on the interstate around me, And as we happened to be driving over the same spot at that time, and I said, how was there room on that shoulder for me to pull over that night and miss it? One car had done a 180 and was coming right back at me and couldn't stop. I still don't know how I got out of the way of that car. So I'd just been telling that memory with her when all of a sudden on 394, I noticed a car swerved, and I thought, why are you doing this? And they completely lost control at 60 miles an hour on what had become a sheet of ice. And that car spun around and around and around and almost hit other cars, and I was praying, and finally they slammed hard into the ditch. None of us could stop because of the situation, or we'd probably crash right into them. But I did call 911 for them. And then as I continued on, another accident had just happened before, and there were flares, a couple of flares on the road. No one knew what to do, but we all basically got over into another lane. I drove 25 miles an hour the rest of the way home and made it home safe. But unfortunately, right behind me, there had been another accident where someone was tragically killed. And so we just understand that life is full of danger, right? Life is full of uncertainty. And we never know what's coming in the next moment. But when we know that our lives are in God's hands, and that whatever happens, we belong to Him, then we can move with peace through these moments of life. So sometimes the reassurance is for us, and sometimes it's for others. For Simeon and Anna, their role was mainly about Mary and Joseph receiving encouragement, and through them, all of us receiving encouragement down across the generations. But it was just what could have been seen as a simple, ordinary moment. One more couple coming to present their child to the Lord, and a few people gathering around to pray. But it was the arrival of the Lord's Messiah and the proclamation of God's faithfulness. So this morning, I want you to think about the moments of your life, and the moments in the relationships that you have, and I want you to realize that some of the things you say, and some of the ways you go ahead and show up, and some of the ways that you continue to pray, may be the very thing that keeps the good news going forward in your family line, and to your neighbors, and to your world. And who knows? Who knows what little baby Charles is going to grow up to be and to do in God's will? Amen? Who knows how God is going to use your prayers and your faithfulness to encourage someone along the way. But we all know that God is faithful to His people, and He has set His heart for us, and He wants to save the whole world through Jesus. Amen? And so this morning, wherever you are, you're in a moment where God is present, and He is powerfully at work. Can you be faithful in the boring ways so that when the Spirit leads you, you can say just the simplest things that can reveal His will to our world? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, You're always right on time, even though we can't always see it. May we never lose heart. And I thank You, Lord, for the very faithful people who are present in this room. And I just pray that You would refresh them and renew them in this moment to see and understand that daily prayers and fasting and faithfulness are the things that move mountains and make the incredible and the eternal possible. And Father, I pray for those of us who are needing to hear from You right now that we will. And what we'll hear most of all is that You are our faithful and loving Lord. You are leading us forward. And our job is to do Your will on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, may we see and understand that all of it's working together for the redemption not only of Israel, but of all mankind. Thank you for being such a faithful Lord. Thank you for renewing us in the middle of this wonderful, beautiful season of hope. And it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. All right, let's stand together. It's been good to be in the Lord's house, amen. I pray now that our faithful and loving Lord will continue to fill you with the Holy Spirit, that you might live in holy love and holy faithfulness, and that you might allow his will to break forth for you, for your family, for all that you know. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.